You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Gareth Chute has arrived on behalf of Audio Culture wearing a very cool Star Wars t-shirt, actually.
Kia ora. Yeah, from Japan, so you can't
it's
get it.
It's actually from Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
How do they say Darth Vader in Japanese? Do we know?
This is Star Wars at the top. Star Wars. Yeah, they always have to end their words in vowels, so yes. You always get that. But yes, to the present, though, we're talking about Auckland Town Hall. Earlier in the year, I helped them with their usual tour, like the council puts on regular tours of the town hall once a month, and I just did a special music month edition. But there was so much I couldn't cram it in, so I wrote an audio culture article about the town hall. So I thought I'd come along and talk about that one. I did. Part of the inspiration was, you know, that nightlife, Auckland nightlife website that. Page that
yes,
Simon Gregg
is, yeah.
I put it just like a post to talk about the town hall talks and was like, hey, what gigs have people been to at the town hall? And it went like 200 comments, like so many people were just like, oh, I want to reminisce too. And yeah. It just like got totally out of hand. Everyone's like, no, the best concert was Jane's Addiction. No way.
Do you know what? I was going to say what has been the best ever concert at the town hall. And I think I probably have seen this post as well. And there was a lot of love for that Jane's Addiction show.
Yeah, I think it's just when a band comes just at the peak, where they're still cool. They're not like over it. Like when Nirvana came to New Zealand, played Logan Campbell Center, I feel like they were over it.
Yes.
And you can just feel like, oh, this band does not give a shit. Like
yes.
3Ds and stuff as support were way more energetic. But when Jane's Addiction came, they were like just hitting their peak and like Perry Farrell was like drinking straight from a bottle of wine on stage and they were just like real.
Loving it.
Yep. Yeah. Same with like Faith No More and stuff. So yes. I think that's why people remember that.
Yeah.
Those shows, but write in if you disagree.
Yeah, 5395 if you've got a favourite town hall show. Love to hear from you. Now, your article on the town hall starts right from the get-go, from when the building was built, and you've got some wonderful photos of them putting down the floor and, you know,
yeah, I mean, it's funny to think, like, it's such, you just think of it as a live venue now, but it was really like a council building that's made for, like, meetings and stuff.
Yes.
And made to have that organ, you know, the first... had music from the start when it opened in 1911, and it was just a big Bach toccata and fugue and D minor like performance on the organ that opened it and stuff. But it was always kept kind of austere because unlike the Civic and St. James that came in the 20s, A, it wasn't in the roaring 20s, and B, it was a council building, so
yes.
They kept it kind of
pretty
austere.
Simple.
But I think that's kind of what makes it such a great venue, because you just stand there and it's a bit unbreakable in a way, a bit more than the Civic where you have to sit down, or St. James, which we've managed to destroy
over
the years.
And interestingly, I guess you mentioned in the article that they built it at a time when there weren't amplifiers and amps and stuff like that, so it had to be really good acoustically for just, you know, like regular talking and just people's voices.
So it's always like based on the shape of a cube, I think. So the concert chamber and the town hall is a perfect square, and the town hall is a perfect double cube, I think. So like a rectangle but perfect squares.
Yes.
So it could echo like that, and it was only later on they put the PA in and stuff, and they built the organ into the building, of course. But the organ, actually the part of the organ you see looks exactly the same now as it did in 1911, and that's because the front piece on the stage is fake and the actual organ behind it is completely different and has been entirely changed out three different times. But yeah, I mean, it was so hardy that they used to have like boxing matches there. They'd just bring in a whole boxing ring and put it in the middle, and they brought in like, they had car shows in the town hall in the early days. They'd just drive them in the back door from Grays Ave, which used to go all the way to Queen Street. And
it kind of makes sense, you know, good public space in the center of town.
Yeah.
Know, some nice cover from the rain, should it rain?
Yeah, but it just sort of evolved over time to have like jazz music in the early days, like more sort of sit down concerts. Like the first supposedly the first jazz band in Auckland was Bob Adams Jazz Band, and they played first at Town Hall and did the first sort of sit down, eat dinner and dance with your partner sort of jazz thing. And mm-hmm. it was like, oh, this is the new thing. Probably to like African American people, if they'd heard it, they would have been like, this is not jazz. Like, it was so cleaned up and sort of by way of England sort of jazz. But yeah, and they had crazy things like they had sing-along concerts. Like, they built it originally for 3,000 to fit in the town hall. These days I think it's 1,800 because of health and safety and stuff. But at one sing-along event, they had like 4,000 crammed in there. Like, people were so into going along and singing as a big group that they crammed in the aisles and stuff. It's probably the biggest. But one thing I thought we'd play is one of the first modern jazz, like sort of bebop, or just that beginning of sort of crooning beboppy jazz. They recorded an album at the Town Hall, which has kind of made the jazz scene in Auckland and sort of woke everyone up to what jazz was really about. And this is also the concert that made Mavis Rivers famous, who went on to sign to Frank Sinatra's label in the US and was like a really big deal in the jazz scene over there. Mm-hmm. So I thought we'd play it, A, because she's a great singer, and B, because the intro is just so of the 50s, like, this is 1950 and the guy's like super sexist and he's like real like snobby about jazz. You can just imagine the whole scene. So if we just play a little bit of that, imagine you're 1950, you're sitting down for jazz, the cool new thing at the Auckland Town Hall.
All right, let's hear it. Okay, I'm going to press play. Here we go. Hang on. Just make sure I got the right thing pressed in there. Here we go. This time. Work. Please work. Hang on. You're listening to Audio Culture here on 95BFM with Gareth Shute and myself.
We are just trying to play you.
Well, I never thought I'd live to see the day when I was happy to introduce a female vocalist. There are only two that don't give me a pain in the ear. One of them's Joe Stafford, but the other's Mavis Rivers. And here she is.
Started with you.
Mavis Rivers live in the Town Hall, Auckland Town Hall.
Yeah, back in the day. I mean, that was exciting then. And then, of course, by the end of the 50s, you had rock and roll coming through. Some of the earliest big rock and roll shows, like 700 people shows, were held there when Frank Gibson Sr. started a rock and roll band to make money, even though he was a jazz player. And there's some great shots of on the Audio Culture article about the Town Hall of, like, his trombone player, Bernie, playing on his back and them jumping around because it was so easy for them, the rock and roll style. And then, of course, but if you see photos of that time, you know, the audience is still kind of standing quite far back from the stage and sort of dancing with a partner. And it's only, like, later on when the Beatles come and play the Town Hall that it's really turns to being like, oh, we have to face the band and, like, rip off their clothes or whatever. And, you know, the Beatles said that was one of their scariest shows, playing the Town Hall.
Because there's so much hysteria. For some reason, I thought my mum went to that show, but I may not be correct in this, but yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Like, I mean, that, like you say, there wasn't really a big PA there. And so even in the days of amps when the Beatles played, they would have just had stage sound. There would have just been a vocal PA and the amps on stage. So it would have been so quiet. So with a bit of screaming, you wouldn't have heard anything. But it would have been a great show, I'm sure, if you were really up the front. And then, yeah, I mean, the problem, though, even when jazz came through, the early sort of backlash to having rock modern music there came through because there started to be complaints that the jazz playing would destroy the pianos. Mm-hmm. And so they were allowed to play the two cheaper pianos, but they weren't allowed to play the big Steinway. Mm-hmm. And that went through to the 70s when rock started playing there. And in particular, there was one headlining performance by a Citizen Band, which was like Mike Chan and Jeff Chan, who were both ex-Split Enz people. Mm-hmm. And they were so popular, they like packed out the Town Hall and the crowd just jumped up and down and the floor like shook. And the mayor was like, no more rock concerts. They all have to be seated. So they actually tried to ban like people standing up at their Town Hall. Mm-hmm. And Cheap Trick came, the overseas rock band.
Yes.
And they actually had all this extra security down the aisles, making sure that people
weren't jumping around.
Yeah, that sat there, but they just found that people, even like the second night, they were getting up during the encore. And then the third night, everyone heard about what had happened the previous night, so they just stood up the whole time and like partied to the point where when they got to the encore, the like house people turned the house lights on to like punish them and like, go home, go home. And that's pretty much the end of trying to make people sit down there.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's amazing the variety of stuff it's had over the years. And New Zealand bands have been big enough to play on the main stage there.
It is. It's one of those things where you kind of, it feels like, I don't know, it's tough as a musician in New Zealand, regardless. But if you manage to like fill the Town Hall, you kind of made it, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, you know, I mean, in the 70s, I guess there was Hello Sailor and Dragon headline there, I think. And in the 90s, the Chills did. But New Zealand bands headlining there were pretty few and far between. Mm. So it's great to see over the last few years there's been so many more, like Unknown Mortal Orchestra or like The Beths and Marlon Williams recording albums there and packing it out multiple nights, and people doing stuff with the orchestra, like Leisure doing that big show. Mm-hmm. And the other big thing I always think about the Town Hall is that they had that year after year, they had the Hip Hop Summit, which really broke New Zealand hip hop. Like, mm-hmm. that started before hip hop was massive, you know. Scribe was kind of made during that time. And it almost didn't happen because one year the Maya FM's management at the time didn't want to, well, they said they'd sponsor it, and they said they'd sponsor it to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars. And then a few months out, they said to Sevier and Ali, the promoters, oh, we'll change your mind. We're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so potentially Sevier and Ali were out like tens of thousands of dollars that they would have had to cover themselves, and they both would have been bankrupted. Mm-hmm. And so it was only like a last minute meeting with the council that saved the show and saved them from ruination. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a quote in that story, but I talked to Sevier for the article anyway, and he said like it was funny. He got... DJ Jazzy Jeff over, the guy who used to DJ with Will Smith when he was a rapper, and he got him to be the headliner, but then Scribe like played just before him, and people were just losing their shit to the point where Jazzy Jeff was sitting next to Severe, and he's like, "You want me to play after that guy? Yeah. Why did you put me after that guy?" It was this real point where Severe was like, "Oh my God, Scribe's a superstar."
Wow.
But yeah, and someone wrote in and said they loved the St. Germain show there. I guess that was the one in 2001.
Someone's also saying they remember the Violent Femmes.
Oh, I went to see the Violent Femmes there, yeah. Supported by Hilary Picasso's, if I remember. That was the other thing, like seeing New Zealand band support was always funny there because suddenly they had this massive stage to play on. I'm sure Hilary Picasso's were very like early in there. Run when they played there, but it made me think they were stars as a high school student or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
One personal memory though, it was also the place I first did band photography. I got a job with, I was working for Crackham doing reviews, and they sent me down there. I didn't even have a camera, so I bought like a disposable camera, and all the advice I got from my flatmate was like, "Oh, get the 200 ASA one." So I was like in the photographer's pit for the first few songs with this disposable camera next to all these like professional photographers, and then had to use the results in Crackham the next week.
Someone has just texted through saying they had the privilege of seeing the inner workings of the town hall stage when I had to install a phone line there. So I went underneath the stage. Above stage, I saw some great shows, Motorhead, Pantera, Slayer, Faith No More, Living Colour, Suicidal Tendencies, and many more.
Oh, yeah. See, that era of rock, hey, that 90s rock was a good era for it. Mm. I don't know if they've have slightly less shows coming through. Maybe rock isn't the big thing. But like you say, Public Enemy, amazing there. Any band that's like big enough to cover the stage.
Yeah.
But I did see Put Will Eat Itself once, and there's only two of them. And halfway through, the security got sick of people stage diving.
Yeah.
And Put Will Eat Itself were annoyed, and they just told the security to get lost and got everyone in the audience to get on stage. There's like 100 people on stage standing over everything.
Wow.
So that was good chaos.
Someone else is saying they saw Lou Reed in 1974.
Oof, come on now. No need to make us all jealous. Yeah. It's probably grumpy ass, but I'm sure it was great.
Now, shall we go? Obviously, if anyone's just tuned in, you're listening to Audio Culture with Gareth Shute. Gareth has got a brand new article on the Town Hall up on Audio Culture, so go cast your eyes over it. And
yeah, have a look at that. And recently I wrote one on New Zealand acts that have had a billion streams on Spotify as well. But the photos on the Auckland Town Hall one are really cool. So, yeah, I hope people check it out. And nice. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're going to go out on Beth's song. What should we play, Gareth?
Beth's in the Town Hall. Yes. What a famous band.
Mm-hmm.
Uptown Girl, I guess.
That's, Uptown Girl?
That's one where they go straight in. Okay. So, yeah.
Get straight into it.
Get out to Auckland Town Hall again.
All right. Hey, thank you very much for making the trek, and Gareth, we'll see you next time.
Cool. Thanks, Tom.
Coming up.
That was
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.